Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hello and welcome. I'm Dawn Westmoreland of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast.
Today, I have Rebecca Barnes-Hogg, and she is an HR person just like myself, but she's very specialized. She talks and goes out and recruits people for small businesses. I'd like to welcome Rebecca. I'm so glad to have you on today.
Hi, Dawn. It's good to be on. I'm happy to help you out here.
Yeah. So for a small business, I know they're always looking for the right person. And if they have the wrong hire, that can get them in lots of trouble. So today, let's talk about that. You know, what is the right hire? You know, how can people unleash their inner artist and get that purple unicorn, you know, your ideal employee? How can we do that?
Well, first, Dawn, I love that you're using the language that I use in my book, The YOLO Principle. And it's really, you know, when you hire, I think the most important thing is that you have clarity before anything else about the type of person that will do well in your organization, and also the types of things that you need them to do. Because one of the problems with finding that ideal employee, or as I call it, that purple unicorn, is that most people aren't really 100% clear on what they need. And so that is the foundational principle that I use when I work with people, is to help them find that clarity. Because when you have that clarity, I think it makes a lot of those other problems of a bad hire just disappear. You don't even have to deal with them.
Yeah. So let's say I was a small business and I know I need to bring in more people and I wanted to hire you. What would be your approach?
I'm very easy to work with, and I work with people at all levels of business, whether they're in a startup phase or they've been in business for a while and they have a couple hundred employees. And I can do either their full cycle recruiting, which is the soup to nuts version, where I come in and do an assessment of the job, what needs to be done, do all the sourcing of these candidates, posting on job boards, putting together a strategy, interview training, those kinds of things that go into recruiting. There are a lot of moving parts. It's almost like, I like to say, it's almost like managing a baseball team. You need people in all different positions with different skill sets to be able to do it well. And a lot of times, my clients come to me because they don't have those skill sets on board and they need somebody who's an expert. So if you were building a house, you wouldn't try to build the whole house yourself. So it's kind of that same concept with recruiting. You know, you may be good at certain parts of it and not good at others. And so working with a recruiter or with me, if you would choose to go that route, gives you that outside expertise and helps you to avoid those nasty problems that come about when you, you know, try to go it alone and hope for the best. So I'm real easy to find. My website is pretty simple, YOLO Insights, and YOLO is Y-O-L-O, you only live once. So I always tell people that life's too short to work with people you don't like, or if we wanted to be, you know, really blunt, life's too short to work with jerks.
Yeah, I agree. I always say life is long if you're not happy. So yeah, it can be short too. So how do we get the ideal people in companies and small companies? Because I know you niche with small companies. How do you find that perfect person for them?
I spend a lot of time listening. I ask a lot of questions, excuse me, and then I just be quiet and let them answer and tell me what's going on in the organization. And here's a great example of that listening. I was working with a small business running a dog kennel, very high end. So think, you know, baths and massages and like agility playtime and webcams and you name it. If it could be done, it was in this little doggy spa. It's kind of like, oh, I wish I could go there on vacation. So
yeah,
she was saying how I cannot get a receptionist. They just can't do what I need them to do. They don't stay. I mean, it's just horrible. Like, this shouldn't be a hard position to fill. So I asked her what some of the problems were with the people she was hiring. She's like, well, I'm hiring people who love dogs. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but loving dogs is one aspect of the job, but there are a lot of other things that go into that just besides that, you know, I like dogs. And as she told me some of the issues around the, you know, attention to detail, you know, administrative help. But the biggest issue, she said, was she couldn't get this receptionist to ask clients when they checked in their dog if they wanted to add an additional service. So imagine, you know, you're coming to, you know, a tourist destination and you're bringing your pet, but you can't bring your pet to the hotel with you. And you found this great kennel where you want to keep them for the week while you're enjoying your vacation, but yet you can, you know, be comfortable knowing they're nearby. But when these people come in and they just do the boarding, they don't maybe know that there are all these other services available where they could add on that webcam so that whenever they wanted to, they could check in to see what their puppy or their kitty was doing. Those kinds of things that were added in. And maybe at the end, you want to take your dog home smelling fresh and clean. So maybe you want a bath or some grooming. And this receptionist just wouldn't ask that question. And as I dug deep with her and really listened to her responses, it was clear that when she interviewed, she wasn't screening for someone who was comfortable with selling, because this position was really a sales position. And when we sat down and we just did some simple math, I just said, hey, you know, look, if you, this receptionist could upsell one $25 service to just 30% of your clients. So that's a pretty conservative number. I said, how much would that add to your annual revenue? And she was practically in tears when she looked at me and said, oh my gosh, that would be like $130,000 to maybe $150,000 a year. And I asked her, I said, well, what does that mean for you and your business? And she said, well, finances wouldn't be a struggle anymore. I wouldn't have to worry about constant turnover in this position. I could go home at night and not have to spend all my time here at the kennel. And she said, I couldn't even begin to describe how much better I would feel, how much less stress, all these kinds of things. So a lot of times it's just a matter of having that outsider come in and give you an objective view of what's going on in your organization. Because we're all wrapped up in our day-to-day problems and issues that we don't really see what's causing them. We just try to solve them. So that's, I think, the biggest value that I can add to people in that hiring process is to just give them an objective view of what's happening and then help them solve that with the right person that's going to help them succeed and help them grow their business. So at the end of the day, they're more efficient, more effective, and ultimately more profitable because, well, let's face it, that's why we create businesses, right? To make money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes perfect sense is, you know, that front person that, you know, that first line person is going to be seeing the people that come in and they have to be a seller. You wouldn't want somebody that just wanted to play with the dogs. That makes perfect sense.
Right. Well, that was the other thing too, you know, she's hiring people who like dogs, but they may not have experience working with dogs. And if you're a dog owner, you know that they're a pack animal. They can be territorial. As they get older, they have different sets of issues. So you have to be like hyper vigilant and alert to make sure that all the dogs stay safe and no one gets harmed. So, you know, it's not as simple as you might think. And sometimes I think when I work with small business owners in particular, they have their background and their perspective in mind, and they're looking at it through their lens, and they have this experience and assume other people should just know it too. And that's a mistake, because we all have a different background and experience. We're all unique in different ways, because none of us have the exact same life experiences. And when you look at things only through your lens and not someone else's, you can create problems that just, you know, can really make it difficult to be successful. And I think just having that ability to recognize your own internal bias, where you're projecting your thoughts and your feelings and your knowledge onto someone else without verifying that it's shared.
Yeah. So I imagine people, you know, company owners in their mind have this ideal person that they want to hire. But sometimes people can accidentally discriminate when they're hiring. Can we talk about that? Have you seen cases of that?
Yeah, I think sometimes, like I was just saying, is like we all have our own backgrounds. We're all raised in different ways and by different people, and we have different influences in our life. And we let those biases affect how we view others. And oftentimes we don't even realize we're doing it. And when you're becoming more self-aware, you can avoid having that happen in the recruiting process, where sometimes, and here, you know, the bias might kick in around a certain school someone went to. Like, oh, I get a lot from clients who say, I don't really want to hire anybody who went to an online school, because I don't think they're as good as the, you know, the brick and mortar, more established institutions. Well, maybe 15 years ago, those online schools weren't as good as they are now, but even the traditional brick and mortar schools now have online programs. They're virtual. Technology's made that possible. So that's one bias that would prevent you from hiring someone who might be a really good employee for you. Other times it's thinking, oh, you know, a woman couldn't do this job because she has to lift 50 pounds every day. Well, airlines have female baggage handlers, and it's not uncommon for a woman to be able to lift heavy things. In fact, you know, I see women lifting heavy stuff and doing more than men in a lot of areas. So, you know, it can be these simple biases that you have where you really feel like, oh, that's not a good job for this person because they have these issues. Or you might, you know, unintentionally discriminate against someone who has children because you feel like they won't be able to come to work on time because kids get sick. And, you know, those kinds of things. They lose daycare or that. But you know what? Everybody has issues. People have car accidents. People get sick. You know, people's family has issues. It doesn't matter whether or not you have children. You know, stuff happens to all of us. So to rule someone out for things like that, I think harms us in a lot of ways, because we're missing out on really good employees for reasons that just really aren't valid.
Yeah, and I love how you brought up the bias against online education, because I know I got my master's with Phoenix Online, and it was very challenging actually doing it online. But it's a good point that you brought up, is that there are people out there that think these, you know, going in residence to school is, you know, more valuable than the online training, and that's just not the case at all. I'm so glad you brought that up. So tell me some examples of where somebody hired the wrong person. Have you ever come in and had to help with that?
Yeah, in fact, one of my clients that keeps coming back over and over, but now she's coming back to me because she's growing, not because she needs to replace bad hires, told me that for 20 some years, she was trying to hire customer service people for her manufacturing business. And she just couldn't find anyone who could keep up the pace, who had the attention to detail. And In her situation, it was again, you know, I went in and I did that analysis. I gave her that outside point of view. And the other thing that we did that was very different, and I think a lot of us get stuck in, this is the way we've always hired, kind of a mentality that we forget to open our eyes and look at other places where there may be non-traditional ways to find the people we need. And that's what I did with her. You know, instead of going to the same spots that she was going to for the people that she would hire because they were the best of the worst, so to speak, we started looking in different areas. We started looking at related industries. We started looking at different positions that had similar skill sets. So while she was looking for a customer service person in a manufacturing environment, we looked at other places where customer service was really important and critical. So one of those was home builders. So when you're building a home, you need a high touch person coordinating all the decisions that go into building a home, from where you put your electrical outlets to what kind of bathroom fixtures you want, or lighting fixtures, and the colors of your paint and the cabinets and all of those kinds of things that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of decisions that go into building a house, and then tracking all of those details. That's the kind of skill set she needed. So we started looking at home builders. We started looking at places where there was a high customer content or contact, where you needed to be very detail oriented. And we were able to find some really great employees because we broadened the search, the scope, like where we were looking. We weren't just looking for customer service people who had a manufacturing background. So thinking outside of the box and looking at alternative ways to find the people you need. Now, she did have to train them on her industry and her internal procedures, but these people have stuck with her for years now, and that's not what was happening before.
I see. Yeah. So you're helping people get the right folks in, but what if somebody gets in and they're really a bad hire? What would that cost the company?
Well, I have a calculator on my website that you can download for free. It's a spreadsheet, and you just plug in the numbers that are applicable to your organization. But that calculator can be eye-opening, because a lot of times people don't understand all of the costs that go into a bad hire. And they, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there that it can be, you know, up to, you know, 2 times the annual salary of the person. But oftentimes it's more when you think about the soft costs or the hidden costs of constant turnover in those bad hires. Or even worse, what happens if they end up, because of something they did, you're in a lawsuit, or you have a huge insurance claim against you because of an accident or an injury. Those kinds of things can almost bankrupt a company. So I think, you know, that calculator that I have on my website is a good starting place to kind of look at where all of the money goes to, because you don't necessarily factor in sometimes the value of your own time. How much time does it take you to review resumes and post ads and write ads and interview people and then check their references and retrain over and over and over again? Your time has value too. And every minute that you take and spend it on an employee that's going to leave is a lost cost, because that money could actually be spent, and your time is money. And that could be spent somewhere else. So you really double or sometimes even triple the cost of that bad hire, because if you're redoing their work when you could go out and get $50,000 worth of new business in that same hour, then that bad hire just cost you $50,000. And we don't think about that.
Yeah, in the small company world, that's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money anywhere, but when it comes out of the CEO or the company owner's pocket, that really hurts. So you talk about job descriptions. What's wrong with using a job description as a job ad?
That's my biggest pet peeve, Dawn. Oh my gosh, people just it's just like really just it's my worst nightmare. And think about it, a job description really sets out the role, the responsibility. It's got all the legally required language in there, and they're just boring. Have you ever read a job description that was entertaining or really told you what your job would be? Like, what did it mean? Why is it necessary? And today, I think people more than ever before want to find meaning and value in their work. They want to know that they come to work every day and what they're doing is making a difference somewhere. So I'm working with a CPA firm right now, helping them find some tax professionals. And one of the things that one of the candidates said to me that really kind of hit home, and I think it captures that essence of what people want, is that I want to go to a job every day where I know I'm helping someone. And I love watching clients when I tell them how they can keep more of their money as opposed to giving it to the government. So while we all have to pay our taxes, and we're not saying, you know, we're going to be doing things that are unethical or illegal, but I help clients find the right mix for them so that they're still paying the taxes they owe, but they're also taking advantages of the deductions and the other programs that allow them to keep more of their money so that they can reinvest it in their business and continue to grow. So I think that's the missing piece when you use a job description as a job posting. So for me, a job posting is a sales and marketing piece. It's what's going to have an employee say, this is the company I need to work for. It's going to make them take a second look. They're not going to be bored and yawning and moving on to the next ad. And that's a problem I see a lot. We're all time crunched, right? We all have a lot of things competing for our time and attention. And when you don't have that compelling message on your job posting, the good people are going to pass you by, and the responses to that ad that you're going to get are going to be what I call the resume spammer. And those are the people who just send their resume everywhere and don't even bother reading what the job is. Because how many times have we gotten hundreds of resumes for people who aren't even remotely qualified, and you think, can you even read what I wrote? And the answer is no, they didn't read. They just applied to everything they saw and hoped that they would find something that, you know, would give them an interview. So
yeah,
I think
it should be a target resume, shouldn't it? I mean, for each different job. Yeah.
And people got lazy, you know, with the advent of the internet, and at the click of a couple of clicks of your mouse, you can apply to thousands of jobs. And so people are doing that because they're lazy. And you don't want those lazy people working for you. You want someone who has taken the time to read your ad. And in fact, the ads that I write are more marketing oriented. And I have candidates tell me all the time that the reason they applied is because of the way the job ad was written. They're like, I wanted to know more. And that's what you need to do when you write that ad, is you want people to want to know more about you. So that the thing there is to make it about the person you want to hire, not about you. Because we all, like, you know, years ago we were taught, you have to tell about the company and how stable we are, and we're the best widget maker ever, and been around for 100 years, and all this other stuff. Well, now people don't care so much about that. What they want to know is, what's in it for me? What kind of work am I going to do? Who am I going to be working with? You know, what's the outcome of that work? What does it mean? Am I going to be helping society? Am I going to be helping a certain type of person? Is it going to be a place where, you know, I'm going to be doing something, you know, for the social good and environmentally friendly kind of organization? Those are the things I want to know. So that job ad is really critical to attracting the people that you need and getting rid of those resume spammers. Some of them are still going to come through, but you're just not going to get as much when you really get targeted and specific, because the people who aren't interested in those things, they already know not to apply because they know it's not for them.
Yeah. Well, there's different ages of people that are wanting to be hired by companies, millennials. And I know you've written about it in one of your books about millennials look for different things than maybe a baby boomer. Let's talk about the differences that maybe an older person is looking for, you know, than a younger person when they're being hired.
Yeah, and you know, I think that those groups are starting to come together, whether they like to admit it or not. A lot of baby boomers are at the point in their life where the work that they do is more important than the paycheck to them. And the millennials, money might be a little bit more important to them, but they also balance that with the work they're doing as well and the importance of that. So I think, you know, the whole issue then becomes, how do I create my jobs and attract a wide range of people? So you may find that there are now baby boomers who might be looking for an entry-level position because they're at a point in life where they can do that. They want to change careers. They want to spend the next part of their journey through life doing something different. And millennials might want that same thing. So they're looking, I'm finding more of a convergence across the generations towards that meaning and value in the work that I do. And I don't really believe that anybody, no matter your age, gets up every morning and says, I want to go to work and do something that doesn't matter. Or I want to go to work and be difficult or, you know, not do my job. I believe that most people inherently want to find that meaning. And I think that's where people get frustrated, is they get in jobs where they don't have what they're looking for. And that's what causes a lot of the friction and the problems. So when you're really clear, I'll go back to that clarity. So when you get really clear on the right people for your business and you identify who they are, I don't think the generation matters as much anymore.
Well, that's really good to know, because you're definitely the expert on recruiting and hiring practices. So, you know, I'd like to think that most supervisors, managers, CEOs of a small company, they want to have a healthy work environment, you know, where people get along, they're harmonious. How do you keep bullies out of the workplace?
I think that's where your interview process is really critical. And asking the right kind of question. A lot of times I find business owners going out to the internet and Googling, or you know, whatever their favorite search engine is, what are the best questions to ask candidates in an interview? Well, candidates do the same thing. So everybody's researching the correct answer to these questions. So you don't get a really good, true picture of who you're hiring. But when you ask what I like to call my insightful interview questions, that's when you make candidates kind of dig deep and you catch them off guard. And I hear all the time, like, wow, no one's ever asked me that question before. And I'll say, it's because you've never been interviewed by someone who knows how to interview. That's why. Right? So
that's true.
Yeah. So they have to really think. And when you ask someone a question and they're not prepared to answer, 90% of the time, 99% of the time, you're going to get the truth about them. And here's a great example. One of my first positions I was interviewing a candidate for, I asked her to describe a difficult situation she encountered in the workplace. Because we encounter them all the time, right? So she started describing the situation she was having with another employee. And she said, well, I was accused of being racist. And I said, oh, that is horrible. Tell me more. And so as she started through this explanation, it became really clear to me, listening to her, that she was being a bit racist and discriminatory towards this other coworker. And it was very eye-opening, because otherwise, had I not asked that question, she interviewed wonderfully in all other aspects. She may have been hired. And so you do learn things. People will tell you the most surprising things in an interview. And they tell you that when they're not prepared for the questions that you're asking them. So when you strategically design a question to elicit like values and beliefs of people, then you can find those tendencies that would lean towards bullying or discrimination or someone who's going to be difficult to work for. And honestly, some people that are difficult to work for or work with in one organization may be perfect in another because the culture and the environment in that organization is more suited to their personality. So I don't necessarily feel that difficult people, you know, are unemployable. They're just not in the right position. So what I do is I help people understand that. And when I interview people, if I find through an interview that they're not going to be a fit with that company culture, I'll tell them right away. I'll just say, hey, you know, I don't think this position is right for you because it's going to be, you know, a really fast-paced environment with a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. And based on what you just said to me about your working style, I think it would be a struggle for you. Would you agree with that? And they self-select out of the process because they can say, yeah, you know, I don't think I would thrive in an organization where I was constantly, you know, just fast-paced, boom, 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 lots of stress, lots of pressure, because I don't do well with that. I know myself. And I think candidates appreciate that honesty, that allowing them to say, hey, this isn't for me, and avoid that mistake, because it's just as costly if you're the one who's lost the job because you didn't do well. And that's heartbreaking to see as well, because these people are smart and they're qualified, but they're just in the wrong environment, and that's why they can't do well. So I think if we're really honest with ourselves and we really get clear on the type of work environment and the type of person who does well in that environment, then we can see those signs in the interview questions that we ask, and we can avoid a lot of pain and suffering on both sides of this relationship.
Yeah. So I know one of the things that you've been doing, you're writing, you're getting out there, and you've been featured in Forbes and PBS, Next Avenue, Income, Business News, and so on and so on and so on. You've been very busy. What are you writing about when you get out there and write?
I write about all aspects of the hiring process and how companies can use that to make better hiring decisions. So a lot of moving parts, I said earlier. So, you know, there's the interview, there's the job ad, there's that job description, there's, you know, how to check references to verify. You want to always get a verification of your impressions from other people. You know, and the tools that you use have changed. You know, way back in the day, I'm going to date myself with my age here, but you had to go out to the office supply store and buy a really nice, expensive paper, and you typed your resume, and you couldn't make any mistakes because we didn't have cut and paste and saving and all that. So you had to be very careful and professional, and then you had to go buy stamps, and you spent hours on Sunday with 10 or 12 pages of want ads in the Sunday newspaper, and it was hard to apply for jobs. So now we've moved into an area where we have technology that makes it really fast and easy. And so what tools are you using in the tech world to recruit? So there are calendar programs that allow easy scheduling, so you're not going back and forth 12 times with someone trying to find a convenient time to talk. There are online applications, there are resume databases, there are different job boards you can use. So I write about all of these aspects of hiring and how to use them effectively in your business, because everybody's needs are a little bit different. So I like to give people a range of tools and resources to use so that they can be really effective in their hiring.
Yeah. So you've been quite busy getting out there, and you've been at it. It was in 2011 that you started YOLO Insights. You know, real quick, give me a success story that you had that really pops out in your mind.
I think for me, the biggest success, I don't know that there's one in particular, but it's just that feeling of joy that I get when I connect a really talented person with a company who desperately needs them, who's been struggling because they haven't been able to find someone just like them. That fuels me. That gives me the energy to keep doing what I do. And for me, my success is when my clients succeed, when I see them growing and being more successful because I've helped them find those people that they need. And I think probably, oh gosh, I don't know, in the last 7 years, I've placed a couple hundred employees in really good jobs with really great companies. So, you know, at some point, I think, you know, I'd like to be able to do that for thousands and thousands of people. But, you know, every day that I do what I love, for me, is a success.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Well, we're going to have to wrap up. You brought out some really good insights, and I know you got all excited about doing this kind of work when you were in high school, finding classmates, find summer jobs. I thank you, Rebecca, for being on the show. Now, if anybody is listening to you and they want to contact you for guidance to hire you, how would they get a hold of you? What is your contact information? And let's talk about your books for a second.
Sure. You can contact me by email at Rebecca@YOLOinsights.com. You can also call or text 843-779-YOLO, Y-O-L-O. And my book is available also on my website or on Amazon. It's called The Ultimate Hiring Guide for Small Business, The YOLO Principle. And it really is just a fun, quick read. It's made to be easily digestible, small chunks. You can read it in any order. But it gives you tools, resources, and foundation. So if you don't have the capacity to work directly with a recruiting professional, this gives you a baseline to get started and at least make better decisions and be aware of where you've gone wrong in the past. So that's available as well. And it was a fun thing for me to write. And I like to make my work fun. That's one of my personal principles. So you'll find a lot of really bad poetry in there, but it's a fun way to, yeah, it just helps you remember the principles, and they're just kind of quirky, fun, really bad rhymes. And, you know, when people say, oh, you write poetry, I cringe because true poets would just be like just dismayed if they read this stuff. But it helps to make it not so dry and hard to digest. And that's really what I like to do with people is give them the tools they need in a way that's engaging and fun.
Yeah. So I've read your book, and it's very good advice. Now, all these different articles that you put out there, you've written for a lot of different magazines and media. How would somebody find that? Is that on your website also, Rebecca?
I don't have a compilation of those on my website, but I think if you just Google my name, they come up all over the place. I've lost track of all the different press mentions that I've gotten. So it's probably something I need on my to-do list is to get that in one place.
Great. And what are you doing in your near future? What's your future look like in the next year or so?
In the next year or so, I want to take what I've done with my book and turn it into an online education portal where people can come and purchase on demand the education they need. So whether it be on demand interview training or some training on how to write a job posting or where the best places are to find good employees, what are some new tech tools that will help me be more efficient or save time or effective, those kinds of things. I really want to build sort of a hiring university for small businesses where they can come and get information they need on demand. So it's there when they need it and the format that makes it fun and easy for them. So if you know, you're getting ready to interview tomorrow morning and it's 10 o'clock at night and you want some quick interview training, you can just go online and do an interview course and learn how to ask those insightful interview questions.
Well, that's helpful. Yay for the small companies because they have you and your resources. Well, I look forward to checking that out myself. And as we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up?
Only just really take the time to make your hiring a priority. Too often I see small businesses rush to hire because they're in pain and they think that anyone who can help lighten the load will be good. But I challenge you to slow that thought process down and take your time and wait for the right people and understand who that right person is, because in the end, you will be so much happier and you will save so much of your time and energy and even your sanity. So just slow that down and really be thoughtful and strategic about how you hire.
That's wonderful advice. I am so happy to have you on my show and just share this guidance with other people, because there is a big problem with people hiring the wrong people, and they need to learn how to hire the right people to have a harmonious, productive work environment. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on the show. To everyone, please stay tuned for further editions, and everyone have an empowering day.
Thank you for listening to The Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.